Hey, hey, and welcome to the Buoyant Living Podcast, Enlightenment for Everyday Living. Real quick, most of these episodes are being recorded from my family home, so you may hear sounds of nature and or roaming kids. Well, maybe not quite roaming, screaming kids. I just thought I'd give you a heads up. And while I'd love to work with each and every one of you, please note these episodes are mostly about my personal experiences and do not constitute therapeutic advice. For that, you must hop over to buoyantliving.com, click the service tab, and let's connect there. I think I've covered everything. Now let's dive in, shall we? If your life is anything like mine, you are constantly plagued with decisions. Some decisions keep us up at night. For a very long time, I struggled with making the best or right decision. In fact, oddly, I believed the more time and energy I expended on thinking about the best decision, I could ultimately think up the best decision. I know I'm not alone when I say that. Although I know, like myself, most of you know that's not the case. If anything, it proves just how egocentric we are, or I am, if I'm honest. Almost to a fault, I believed nothing existed and occurred outside of me. But that's not my own doing right there. Because I live in a capitalistic society where I am led to believe that the harder I work, the more opportunities I might have. So naturally, we've learned to spend time in decision-making to ensure our edge. Thinking back, I want to say maybe somewhere in the 10th grade. I was in the Ivana Yudorican High School at the time. My 10th grade economic teacher, Mr. Howell, if I may recall, he spoke much of this concept called opportunity cost. And what he said is that opportunity cost is the cost incurred when we pursue one option over the other alternatives, or something of the sort. So no wonder we spend incredible amount of time contemplating our decisions, because we're always pursuing the edge and we're always trying to minimize our risk. But are we, really? The truth is, some roads are clear, both metaphorically and physically, and you are free to proceed full speed ahead. And other times, not so much. Things are just not as straightforward as we would like it to be. Or your decisions might be contingent on other people, circumstances, situations. But the problem, as I see it, isn't so much about which decision is best or which path is right. The problem, as I see it, is the agonizing and the angst and the distress and the anxiety that I feel and felt as I experience that in-between space, that uncertainty. Because things just aren't really ever as straightforward, right? Most of us grow up thinking good things happen to good people, and so bad things must happen to bad people. And we leverage our odds by being good and doing good in the world. But what happens when sort of that just world idea doesn't hold true? I want to talk a little bit about a time, or maybe the time when I was contemplating graduate school. This is not so much an episode about graduate school, but I think there's some good information that listeners can take away, and especially those of you who know someone who is on the brinks of a graduation, or on the brinks of a career change, or on the brinks of any big change in life. When I graduated from grad school, somewhere back in 2008, 2009, I was just so ready to take on the world. I mean, bursting at all the seams with incredible amount of joy. I remember my graduation day, all my loved ones sitting, you know, in the audience, just, you know, ready and cheering me on and feeling so proud of me. And I was feeling so confident that I had a great time at graduate school and that I had all the skill sets to embark on that endeavor. In fact, by that point, you know, one of my professors had already said, you know, have you considered a doctorate degree? I think you have what it takes. And I truly believe that myself. And that was something that I had already dreamt up. And it would just be a matter of time. At least that's what I thought. So there I was packing up my things, planning this big move like every other graduate, moving to a big city, and I was going to take on Atlanta, Georgia. Yes, I had these dreams about living in a fancy loft overlooking the city, and I was going to immerse myself in tons of culture and history and learning, and I was just so excited. Nothing happened. Nothing happened that way. Wait, let me think. What actually panned out? I guess I moved. And maybe that's about it. In fact, I moved to Georgia. I had my wedding canceled 3 weeks before the scheduled day. So that didn't go so well. My family did travel to the mainland. We hung out at the hotel. We ate. We had a good time. They loved on me. And everyone normalized everything at that point. And I had a good girlfriend who was living in North Carolina at the time, who we both attended graduate school together in Miami. And she, too, came over to Georgia and was there to love on me during that time where my heart was just so broken. And so that happened. And eventually, my partner and I at the time, we went on to have a subsequent pregnancy, and we had a live birth who is now known as Amaya, my daughter, my firstborn. But her delivery and her time after being born was not so easy. She spent a couple months in the intensive care unit and in a very fragile state. And I was quite distraught about that experience. And needless to say, I was very sure by then that I was going to need to pack up myself and my daughter at 3 months, and we were going to be moving back to the Virgin Islands. And at the time, it felt like the right decision, the best decision, the only decision, right? You know, when we think about the opportunity cost, like nothing else made sense. None of the other alternatives made sense. And so we moved back, and I was grateful for the support, and I got a great job, and I loved what I did, but I wasn't quite complete, and if I'm honest, I wasn't quite satisfied because I already had this earlier seed planted and yearning to do more. But I needed to focus, I guess, on what all mothers and parents, I should say, would do, which is just caring for their young, and so I spent the next several years doing so. Then somewhere about in 2016, I guess the tail end of 2016, I started having the yearning again. And this time I thought, man, I got to do something. So I put it off for a little bit of time, but I monitored closely the application deadline. And I decided, I think by then, I was about three to 4 months pregnant. And of course, you know, I'm pregnant. I didn't really have much else to do with my time besides go to work and go home. So I did. And I decided then that I was going to apply to graduate school. In fact, I applied only to one graduate school, right? The graduate school that I was destined to attend. And I did. And I was accepted. I was accepted. So I didn't really know how to process any of those feelings because I was accepted, but I was, by the time I got the notice that I was accepted, I must have been 5 to 6 months pregnant. And But it would work out because the baby would be born and we would just move, right? And things would work out because at this time, I'm ready. I mean, nothing was going to get in the way this time. But everything got in the way this time. So the baby was born and he too spent a bit of time in the NICU in Miami. And so that was a whole ordeal in and of itself, being medevaced off the island, having this baby taken to Miami, great, great care, both on St. Thomas and both in Florida, great, great care. And so he made it. But as you figured, that was not a part of my plan. And so, yeah, so I'm healing. Much of my cesarean time was spent in the hospital with my newborn, and we were figuring it all out. My loved ones came by, they visited, they spent some time. And one of my other great friends from undergrad, she was always there and really helped me to cope with that very difficult time as my son was struggling early on. And we just were quite uncertain about what was going on. And so I just knew at that point, this idea about going back to school just didn't make sense, right? Back to this opportunity cost, just nothing made sense. And so of course I'm going to have the baby, and of course we're going to just go back to the Virgin Islands. That was just the right thing to do. But something told me not to quite decide. Just don't decide. Just put off the decision making. And I did. And I spent hours and hours just sleeping in this hospital, and I had nothing else to do with my time than to care for my baby and realize how much further away, again, I felt like I was from this dream that I always held for my life. And so, but no decision was made. And then I got news maybe about a week before the first day of school that he would be released. So quickly, we got the ticket, we got on a plane, we moved back. My family and all my loved ones was there to receive us, and we were safe. And a few days later, I was on a plane headed to Philadelphia, where I would begin graduate school. And my first week of school was everything that I had imagined. I was just so happy. I mean, I made it, and we survived that time, and things were working out. So the first week of school went great. And like all new students, I got all this apparel. I was wearing everything. I was bonding with my cohort. And I was just so happy to be there, right? Because this was like a long time coming. And I've had so many false starts. And so I was just happy and grateful. And while we did not quite figure out all the other pieces, I was just so happy that the baby was okay, and my family back home was okay, and that I was able to go off to school. And after the first week of school, for those of you who live in the Virgin Islands that's listening to this podcast, after the first week of school, I went back to the Virgin Islands where my family was, and I got stuck in the Virgin Islands because Hurricane Irma, one of two Category 5 hurricanes that barreled down on the territory came 14 days apart. Oh my goodness. I just had a moment just thinking back about the sheer terror that I felt for my newborn, who was on an apnea monitor at the time. The island was in darkness. All my loved ones and everyone around the island and all the Virgin Islanders and all my friends and the community that I had known was in shambles, and we were all feeling hurt and lost and confused and overwhelmed and anxious, only for there to be another Category 5 storm just 14 days apart. So that was a very, very difficult time, and for sure I knew whatever path that I had prepared for myself or that I had dreamt up about had just disappeared. In fact, the idea of going back to school by that point just was non-existent. And again, back to opportunity cost, nothing would matter, right? Because I was just so grateful to be alive, and I was mostly concerned and preoccupied with just wanting to keep this little one safe. And so that was a very difficult time, and it was a scary time. And just thinking about it takes me back to that time, and I'm just so incredibly grateful for for the fact that the island and our territory and our people, we have been incredibly resilient, and we were there all for each other. And that was a time of community resilience and community grief and community healing and community surviving. And so all of that happened. And I would never feel sure again, but at some point the satellite towers for our mobile devices were merciful, and one call came through, and it was from someone who I would refer in this context to as, you know, an angel at the university. And she called, her call came through, and she held the light, and she held a path, and she held for me what she thought was possible at a time where I just thought, you know, this is just not the priority, right? Like, my priority just shouldn't be on getting back to school. Like, I should be focusing on my safety, the safety and well-being of my kids, and the restoration of the community and the lives that were lost, you know, as a result of that devastation. And so there were so many other priorities, but at some point, I was convinced that the path was back at the university. And so my family and I, one by one, eventually we were all able to leave the territory, and we made it to the mainland, and eventually we would begin our lives, our fragmented lives, where things didn't make sense, where we knew no one, where there was nothing we were coming to, but we were going to begin. And what I held on to during that time, as I now think back, one of my favorite authors, Pema Chodron, she talks about going through life, and she says, you know, to live is to continuously be thrown out of the nest. And how much that resonated with me, I cannot tell you now. But at that point, I decided to reread one of her books, one that I had fell into my arms at the time I was living in Georgia, at the time, right, to just all the irony. So the time I was living in Georgia, when I was a newborn of a sickly child, and I thought I needed to move back because I needed the support of my family, and I did, and I thought that the dream of moving back to the mainland and moving to the Northeast was that much more out of reach, even geographically, and my life circumstances just took me on a much different path. And then I thought of when I finally mustered up the courage to finally apply, and then I got accepted. But then this baby was born, and he too would need medical care for some time. And once the coast finally felt clear, and I had just arrived in Philadelphia, just nothing would go as planned from that point forward. So I reread the book Pema Chodron wrote, entitled When Things Fall Apart. And one of the quotes that stuck with me that I read virtually the entire time to manage the yanks and the feelings of overwhelming feelings and the feelings of doubt and the feelings of uncertainty, what I held on to was this idea that the point is really never to pass the test, or the path is never really clear. The quote reads, "We think that the point is to pass the test or overcome the problem. But the truth is that things don't really get solved. They come together and they fall apart. Then they come together again and fall apart again. And it's just like that. The healing comes from letting there be room for all this to happen. Room for grief, room for relief, room for misery, and room for joy." I'm just going to take a moment and pause. I thought the point was to pass the tests, to complete graduate school, to arrive in the city of Georgia, or the state of Georgia, in the city of Atlanta, and to start my life. And I've had so many false starts, and I've had so many setbacks, but were they setbacks, or were they set up? What did I gain during that time? And so here's a few things I've gained. By the second time my second born was in the hospital, I had become I was terribly anxious and very worried, so I do not want that to be mistaken. But I had also become very good at caring for myself and caring for myself while I cared for a baby whose life was very uncertain at the time because I had already gone through it. And I had also become very good at having to move back and having this very big setback so that when the storms had come, all I needed was to start putting one foot in front of the next because I knew how to go back to the drawing board and I knew how to begin again. And what I know now for sure is that I'm not so sure those were false starts or all those experiences was just merely a part of my path, but that I passed the test and I've arrived. But the test isn't what you might be thinking. Now I've repurposed myself in graduate school, and I am so clear now on what my purpose is as it relates to graduate school, as it relates to graduate studies, my research, my dissertation, but more so as it relates to my own life. Because the goal or the point is never to pass a test. The point is never to never have fires or to never be in crisis or there'll ever be a time when there are no storms. The goal is to persist in spite of and to follow that internal yearning all the way to the path that you have not yet traveled, when there are no steps for you to travel, and when life is completely chaotic and nothing makes sense. Because that purpose or goal or dream or intuition was divinely given to you, and so your steps will be ordered. You just have to hold the space for the angst, for the disappointment, for the uncertainty, for the confusion, for the misery, and ultimately for the joy. And so this weekend, like all the other weekends, I will spend the time with my kids, my 7-year-old and now my 2-year-old at the university. And we will stroll the campus as we always do. And we will lose ourselves in that moment, and we will remember that we have arrived. And I will hold the space of hope for all of you listeners who are trying to figure out the next step. And I will say, it may not be what you might be thinking, and your time may be a bit off, but if you can just hold that space, I am confident that you too will arrive. Until next time, be buoyant and be you. Hey, many of you may know that I am very, very interested in all the ways we can help to keep our planet clean. So it may come as no surprise to you that the very first sponsor of my podcast is United Resources, a local company who have been working very hard around town, helping to beautify our islands since Hurricanes Irma and Maria in 2017. So if you should see these men and women around town, be sure to say hello and thank you. And also, I ask that you consider all the opportunities within your reach to help to practice green living. Until next time, be buoyant and be you, because protecting our planet is all our jobs.